There are important things you need to remember.
Okay.
From where your car keys are to important details involving your family, your job, your own health.
Sure.
But as you get older, you have a harder time remembering those things.
Yeah, it slips away.
Yeah. Instead, our brains are filled with stuff like this.
Yeah, what'd you find?
Well, at least I hope everyone's like this. Mm. And I'm not some giant weirdo that I believe my wife thinks I am. You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Over the weekend, I was out with my family. And as I'm walking through crowds of people who are all ignoring me, I recognize a face. And I just see a face in a face.
Okay.
Because this is a face I have not seen in 30 years. I realize it is my elementary school music teacher.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Gaspar.
Oh, my God. You recognized him?
He looks exactly the same. Guy looks
music
great.
Music teacher.
My music teacher from elementary school, Mr. Gaspar.
Right.
And there is a reason why I remember him, which I will get to in a second. So I go up, and it's, you know, it's been so long, I have to say hello.
Okay.
And I say hello, and it looks like he saw a ghost. He's looking at me, right? I was, you know, fat little kid as now wrinkly older man. Introduce him to my family. My wife was just as surprised that I recognized him. But I did recognize him because when I was in fifth grade, our class put on a musical that he wrote.
He wrote it?
He wrote the musical. And, like, he did not write it for fifth graders.
Okay.
This was a musical that he wrote to, like, be an actual musical.
Oh, okay.
And he tailored it, like, changed it so we could put it on. I was the lead in this musical.
Wait, he wrote Failures?
And he personally selected you to be the lead.
Like, yes, we had to
little fat failure.
We had to audition, and me and my best buddy Phil.
I see the potential in you, kid.
Well, look how wrong he was. Me and my best buddy Phil were the leads in this musical.
All right.
So the musical was called Town in a Trance, and it was a story of vampires
what?
Who turned townspeople into zombies using television.
Okay,
that's a deep one.
And there were like 10 songs we all had to learn. Yeah. The play was like 90 minutes long. Like,
wow.
Okay. So as I'm explaining all of this to my wife on the ride home, I start singing the songs from the musical.
Oh.
Yeah.
Songs I haven't sung in 30 years. I have not thought about this in 30 years. And I realized in this car ride, if I needed to, I could do the whole damn play that I have not thought about since fifth grade right now.
So it says you were singing like vampire songs?
Yeah. Town in a trance, town in a trance. Don't stay outdoors, you're taking a chance. Danger is lurking around every bend. Our town is cursed, beware, my friend. Do, 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 do.
Okay.
On the hill there is a castle set amidst. I can do the whole damn thing. All 10 songs right now. And as I am singing this, my wife goes, you're full of crap. And I start doing this, the musical. And the look on her face, I realize she thinks I'm a total psycho. Right. And I start arguing with her in the car. Everyone has something like this from their childhood.
Yeah,
she goes, no, something's wrong with you.
Well, as you age, when your memory starts to go, a lot of it's short term, like the old stuff you remember.
Okay.
Because like when my mother started going down that dimensional, she could tell you stuff about growing up on a farm, but she couldn't tell you what you had for lunch.
Okay, I get that there are like personal stories.
I think as you age, that kind of happens. Like you hold on to those old stories because they've been sitting in your head for so long.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if my wife has this.
They're like in bed. Well, I'm sure she does.
No, because I was like, you have to remember some of this stuff. She could not.
But you'd probably been, it wasn't, you got triggered.
Well,
by seeing this guy.
All you would have to do is be like, hey, remember that play you were in? Or I saw you, and I could do the whole thing right now. Okay. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Am I right that everyone has something like this in their brain?
Especially if they put it in a song. Oh, yeah. That'll stick with you forever.
I mean, what is the thing that sticks in your head that does not need to be there other than everything that comes out of your mouth?
Like, I'm always amazed. Like, I remember addresses of houses we lived in. From years ago.
So like your childhood home, you know, you remember the address?
Yeah.
In Jersey?
Yeah, the one in Jersey and the one in Florida.
Do you remember your parents' phone number from back in the
day? No, I'm not good with numbers like
not
that.
Not even the one like they you grew up with. Like you would have had to tell people this is my phone number.
Yeah, I was terrible with numbers.
Okay. Do you remember your parents' phone number?
Yep, and all my friends' home phone numbers. Probably from first grade to about, you know, at the end of high school, really.
No, to your point, this girl I dated like as a sophomore in high school, I could call her parents' house right now if they still live there.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, no, but I thought everybody had that.
Yeah.
Maybe they do.
Nothing? 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Here is my question.
Yeah.
You don't need it. You never use it. But what is stuck in your brain forever from childhood? And I get that the most common would be like songs, theme songs from TV shows, movie lines. Let's pass on those. I'm talking more personal. Mm-hmm. Something very few other people would ever understand.
I mean, like I said, if it was a song, I remember it. I remember we sang like, It was like this African song where we all like did this dance, and I specifically remember exactly when the song in the song when the teacher stopped playing the piano, slammed on the piano, and told this one kid who was acting up, he's not the cutest thing since sliced bread.
By the way, sliced bread cute?
I don't know.
Mm. Can you still sing the song?
It was like, I think this is how it went.
Okay.
Funga lafia, ashe, ashe. That's the, and you just kept repeating that as you sang
so
it in a circle.
So if it kept going, it would sound like,
Funga lafia, ashe, ashe.
All right.
But I'm not done listening to the song.
No, it's just that over and over again.
So I'm surprised you remember the guy's name.
Mr. Gaspar.
Like, if I ran into an old teacher, I would have a hard time remembering even their name.
So I was explaining to my wife, the reason I remember this guy so well is, like, this started off as, like, the whole fifth grade class was going to put on this play, and, like, during music class during the day, we would practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, as it got closer, like, you know, it's his play, so right. He was, like, a perfectionist about it. It just kept consuming more of the day until, like, 2 weeks before we just stopped going to class.
And you were just doing a play.
Yes, at Washington River Elementary School, we were just practicing for this play. So I spent a ton of time with this guy working through this play that he wrote.
Mm.
So, like, yeah, man, like, he may be one of the most influential men in my life that I completely forgot about until I saw his face.
So I remember when I was on the road, I'm in Atlanta, and I decided to go back to my old military school.
Okay.
And I still remembered the road that led into it. And I still remembered a couple of the teachers. So this is back when you could still drive on a campus and just start asking questions.
Pardon me, boys.
Hello, boys.
You look great in your uniform, gentlemen.
Yeah, I used to play around these parts.
Hey, so, maybe my uniform, your uniform will fit me now.
But I was amazed I could still remember the guys' names that I was looking for.
See, that's why I thought everyone remembered every teacher.
But these are the guys I got in a massive amount of trouble with, too.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
But that makes sense. That was you were impacted by these people so severely.
Yeah.
Physically and mentally.
Yeah.
252 WCMF. I ran into my elementary school music teacher, fifth grade, Mr. Gaspar. Haven't seen him in 30 years.
Yeah.
Saw the guy, and he had a big effect on me because he wrote a musical that we as a fifth grade class put on. And I was telling my wife, I could do the whole play for you right now. That's how much time we worked on this. And she thought I was crazy. And I was like, no, everyone's like this. And she's like, no, you're a psychopath.
They need to start teaching us songs that are that will actually like help us later in life. Like things that
your credit score should be over 600. Here's how you do
it. Because that's the only thing that really sticks in your brain that you remember, and you could pull it out at any time
Jingles.
And have it be useful.
You're right. But like, why does this happen? What about the human brain allows it? Like you said, most people, Tommy, have a hard time remembering very important things on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You lose your phone, you lose your keys. God forbid you have to tell someone your wife or kid's birthday now.
Yeah.
You look like the worst husband, the worst parent. But while you're doing that and can't remember, you have the Erie Canal song you learned in third grade going off in your head, which Kimmy and I can also fully do.
Yep.
And we've proved several times.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't make us do it again.
I've got a mule. Her name is Sal. 15 miles down the Erie Canal. Sorry.
But there's
she's a good old neighbor and a good old pal. 15 miles down the Erie Canal.
So I was saying.
What?
Now! So
we pulled some barges in our day. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So when I went to that Christian school, the last school I went to, I used to have to pledge allegiance to the flag every morning. And then you had to go outside, you know, they raise it up on a pole. And then they put out, and maybe you didn't know, there's a Christian flag.
Oh.
So they would also raise the Christian flag, and you would have to pledge allegiance to the Christian flag under its own saying, and you had to do that every day, and I couldn't tell you a word of that.
So you can't do that right now?
No, and every day for
really?
The 2.5 years I went to that school, every morning you had to get out there and do that. That's how you started the day at this academy, and I cannot remember a word of it.
No kidding.
I mean, it's similar into the, you know, Pledge of Allegiance, but you just insert a lot more Jesus and God, don't touch yourself.
That was in the pledge?
Kinda.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag, and I will never touch my genitals.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, it's funny. How with all of the advancements in medical science over the last 50 years, have we not figured out why this happens?
Why?
Because they don't know the brain.
But that's
Was it maybe between certain ages where it sticks more than other times in your life?
Like when your brain is developing?
Yeah.
Like, are those things? I guess my question is, like, the musical I could do right now,
right.
The Erie Canal song or Bomb on Away, or like the road you just knew to turn on in Atlanta. Are those things taking up space we could be using to remember new stuff?
Yeah, you're sold out.
Is it like a hard drive?
It's like a warehouse.
Well, you don't know that, though. We don't know that.
True.
Right? Like, I would love...
But you'd have to add more brain. Well, like a hard drive, you can add to a hard drive. You can't add more matter to your brain, so it gets cramped.
But what I'm getting at is, like, with all due respect to Mr. Gaspar and his wonderful Town in a Trance performance that he wrote, I would be happy to wipe that out of my brain.
Oh, sure.
If I could, like, clean that part of the hard drive, if I could remember new, more modern, important stuff.
True. Yeah.
Like what my insurance number is off the top of my head, which I still don't know.
Yeah. Yes. But so you're thinking they should try to work on that?
No, I'm asking.
Maybe
like,
they are.
Yeah, I guess maybe given people the ability to wipe people's brains is a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's a Kennedy family.
It could also be, too, just stuff as a kid that you found entertaining that stuck with you. I mean, think of how many theme songs you know off the top of your head. Or TV episodes that you could recite almost word for word. Movies you can recite almost word for word. It's just that's what you were focused on. That's what you did for fun.
But it does nothing for us.
No, it does not.
It does nothing for us.
It's being good at things that don't matter.
Well, before we get back to that, which, by the way, should be the name of this show, 252-WCMF. 252-9263. Alicia writes us on Instagram, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. The worst earworm from math following the roots of the quadratic formula. X equals negative B plus or minus square root B minus 4AC all over 2A goes to Pop Goes the Weasel. And I'd sing it, but I don't understand a word I just said.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Quadratic.
So somebody made a song out of it and... You could, yeah, that's true too.
X like, equals negative can, b plus or minus square root b root minus 4ac all over 2a. I think I did it.
Yeah.
What's it called? Quadratic.
Quadratic formula. I don't remember.
I think that means you can't walk.
No, but like the fact that we both are staring at each other.
Yeah. I don't know what you said.
That was probably taught to us.
Yeah, it probably was.
There's a million things that they tried.
That's my point. I'm singing Town in a Trance. I don't know what the hell Alicia's talking about.
You know what else I wonder, too? Remember, did you have Game 24?
Yeah! 2 times 2, 2 times 6.
I can add things up to 24, no problem. Any other number, though, you're on your own.
I will divide and add by 6, 12, and 24 only because so this game, Tommy.
Yeah.
It was a card, and there was, like, tournaments that, like, elementary schools would play in.
Stay after school to play Game 24.
So it was, like, you put down a card and it had 4 numbers on it, like 2, 6, 3, and you would have to multiply or divide to get to the number 24.
Track,
And like when you got in your head, you tap the center of the card. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then you were the winner.
Yeah, I couldn't do that crap.
Dan Lee, 24 champion out of my elementary school.
Wow.
Washington River Elementary.
Look at that.
Why are you making that face?
I could not do that.
No, I know. I wasn't good at it either. But it still stuck.
Yeah.
It did. It stuck.
All right, so you brought up like our shared experiences. I mean, Kimmy... For most men, outside of the theme songs and the movie stuff, the shared experience were sports names of players and stats when you were a kid. And I say most men, so Tommy can just sit here for a second.
Mm.
Outside of the movies and the theme songs from the shows, which is a shared man and woman, what is the female specific, I remember all of this from childhood? Is it like boy band facts?
Oh, yeah, probably. Any kind of like pop culture stuff.
Can you hit me with a Chad Michael Murray fact?
I wasn't a big Chad Michael Murray person.
Didn't make the cut.
Who was your guy?
I mean, I'm trying to think.
Grimace from McDonald's.
I'm trying to think of who would have been the big person. No,
apparently nobody had that much of an impact on you.
I am totally blanking. I feel like there's somebody obvious I'm missing.
Okay, it's
but
okay.
My brain, my mind has been wiped clean.
It's fine. It's a lot of
24.
It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. I vividly remember in 7th grade math, the girl that sat in front of me was during the Latin explosion. So Ricky Martin was very popular.
Oh, okay.
And on her binder, she had just written personal facts about Ricky Martin.
Oh, okay.
On the front and back.
Yeah.
And if that girl is still alive today.
You think she still got it?
I mean, you would have to know that
stuff. She's been Martinized?
Yeah, I mean, if you're staring at it every day, writing it out.
Boy, you're into it, too. General, like you knew who was in which band. And you never made any of those mistakes. Like, you were either, like, an NSYNC person, you're a Backstreet Boys person, or, like, for, like, the offbeat people, 98 Degrees.
By the way, I always preferred 98 Degrees.
Oh, okay.
It's the hardest thing I'll ever...
Is that Nick?
Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey, yeah. And his brother.
Good kid. No big deal.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, say what you want to say.
Go ahead.
No big deal.
You met him.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no big deal.
Where'd you meet him?
At the show.
15 miles down there.
Joe T got to tattoo him.
At the show. You said at the show. So you went to a 98 Degrees show?
No.
Hey, everybody.
He came on our show.
I understand.
He wanted to meet us.
No, he didn't.
He had heard about it.
He had no idea.
He wanted a free tattoo.
252 W.
He was going to bed.
Again, we're talking about the stuff you can't help but remember. You shouldn't have it. I could do a whole musical. I realized it after I met the man who wrote that musical that had us perform it in fifth grade. Lead, but again, no big deal.
Okay.
Lead.
I am amazed that I know obscure hockey facts from back in the day because I hung out with a kid that was a big hockey fan.
There you go.
And like that had served me no purpose but to torture you.
Well, and that's just it. Like you'll try and throw him out. Like, well, I mean, you can use.
Derek Sanderson was the highest paid athlete at one point. He was so rich. On his way to the rink, he stopped off and bought a Rolls Royce just to see if the money was real.
Wow.
And now he regrets it because he's homeless.
Well, yeah, man. Even if you're not homeless, you probably
won't. Keith Magnuson, on the offseason, worked for the PepsiCo Corporation. And he was a hell of a defenseman.
See, but here's the thing. If you're hanging in a room full of hockey guys,
yeah.
You can, as long as they don't ask any follow-up questions.
Yeah, just follow-ups. Yeah. No follow-ups.
Just change the subject really quick. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Ben. Hey, Ben, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Good to hear from you, buddy.
So my useful thing that I know, I never took a any kind of French. I still know by heart, Frère Jacques.
Okay, that's not a hard one, Ben.
The song?
Frère Jacques, Frère Jacques.
Don't call again. Your call sucks. Please don't call again. Tie up your tongue
on my bung. How's your comedy career going there, buddy?
Oh, Ben, what are you doing? What are you doing, Ben?
What? Why? Make fun of me, I'll make fun of him.
Just bring something. All right, but Ben, that's it. There's nothing like little like rhymes or something from elementary school that's just there. You're never gonna. Well, you were homeschooled though, right?
I was both.
Okay. Like I.
Well, you got kicked out of your home.
In all sincerity,
I got suspended from my mom.
In all sincerity, I wonder, Kimmy, if being in a room full of people doing the same thing helps enforce it in your
brain.
Yeah,
it's repetitive. So.
Yeah.
Also, those random car facts that I know that. Serve me no purpose to this day.
Okay. All right. Well, Ben, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Hey, how's your comedy career going?
Zing.
A lot of bottles over there. It's a bottle factory. Something to keep in mind.
What was that?
As we wrap up this discussion.
What was it?
If you are raising kids right now, they are currently creating all of these memories that will never go away. And you need to be aware of that. Because some throwaway line that you tell them on a day that you're frustrated, busy, impatient, that may be one of those things that for whatever reason is burned in their brain
forever. Yeah, but you'll never figure that out until it's too late.
Well, that's
you're not even around anymore.
That's why I'm giving it. Here's a heads up. If you got itty-bitty babies, it is important that you do not know.
Teach them French now.
Oh, okay.
Good. No, don't be that person.
That's the one they got. Like, why didn't any of that stick? I would have loved to have, like, a second language stick.
I know what you mean. I'm with you 100%.
Even if I could just understand it, not necessarily speak it.
I'd say the same for you, but you don't even know how to speak
it.
You're doing the Sinatra version?
Baby.
Frère Jacques.
Don't call the show again.
You can forgive people for not understanding a song fully.
Yeah.
Lyrics of a song, because they're very personal, written by the artist, right?
Yeah.
Some are a little bit vague. Others, however, there's really no excuse.
Mm.
And one man over the weekend who has become a gajillionaire off of a single hit he has that has become very popular with lovers went out of his way to remind people what the song is actually about. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy, you remember James Blunt?
I know the name.
So he is a one-hit wonder, and his massive hit was the song You're Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I would never be with you. Okay.
So what's wrong with the song?
It's a beautiful song, right?
Yeah.
Quote,
is it creepy?
It's like the creepiest song ever. Quote James Blunt on TikTok over the weekend. 20 years ago today, I released a song that bought me this house. Whoever thought a song about being high as a kite on drugs and stalking someone else's girlfriend would resonate quite so much.
Oh.
Thank you. You guys are beautiful.
So he was high and stalking somebody else's
chick. That's what the song is
about. The song is about a man on a subway who is high, sees a beautiful woman. It's someone else's girlfriend, and he stalks her.
And he gets real creepy.
You got it. So the song is a very popular wedding song.
Oh.
It's also a very popular, like, look at my beautiful new baby on social media song. And folks maybe don't realize it's about a high stalker. Kind of a dick move, Kimmy, by James Blunt.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you just let people, you know, listen to it how they want it.
Yeah, take it how you want it.
Yeah.
Okay, but, and look, there are some artists that refuse to discuss where their lyrics come from, which is also funny because that gets frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, you want to know, well, what were you thinking about when you wrote it? It's like, no, it's open to interpretation. No, you were thinking about stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You wrote this, man, so tell me.
Okay, so what do you want then? You said this is a dick move by James Blunt. But
I don't think it's that dick.
Okay.
It didn't even sound that bad, to tell you the truth.
About
it. I mean, he's just checking out somebody else's woman, and he's high.
Yeah, but there are people.
But I guess the premise of it is not what people thought it was.
Okay, yeah.
They thought it was like more of like a loving song.
To this day, it plays at weddings all the time. Yeah. And here's the thing.
That's why a lot of marriages end in failure, Pat.
Well, I've seen
James Blunt.
I've seen it for daddy-daughter dances, too.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, like, you're beautiful, but I'm never going to, you're going off with this other man now. I think that's why country music has taken over at weddings, because it's so straightforward.
Yeah,
but some of the country, I remember like, when I was getting married, my dad and I were trying to figure out a song. Like, there's always like a hint of like this could be maybe not for a dad and daughter. So we'd have to like rule out a lot of songs because we're like, that's kind of no.
Is there one you remember?
Because
he wanted "Whoomp, There It Is." Her dad. He looks like a guy who loves "Whoomp, There It Is." Party people!
Breaking into the robot.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There were probably because he loves Ed Sheeran. Which most of his songs are about like a romantic relationship, a daddy-daughter situation.
Too
so
erotic.
It was kind of one of those things where like, no, let's pick something more bass. I don't know.
You know, it's funny. As you go through the list of like the songs that you definitely don't understand what they mean, there's two right off the bat that one from a semi-local band, the Goo Goo Dolls Slide. Do you remember that song? Yeah, gonna let it slide. I'll do anything you ever dreamed of.
What's wrong with that one?
So that song and Brick by Ben Folds 5, which was like their biggest hit. Both about abortion.
What?
Really?
So Slide is about a kid from Buffalo, Johnny Resnick, deciding whether or not he is going to marry a woman he knocked up or convince her to get an abortion.
That's a two.
That is a song, and it was a massive hit that people look at as a romantic song.
Did people know that at the time?
Apparently not. Brick is a song about Ben Folds. It's a he wrote it about an experience he had. The day after Christmas, they found out she was pregnant. He drove her out of state to go get an abortion.
Wow. God damn.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavy.
Yeah.
But both of those songs.
Quite catchy.
Both of them. Yes, they're catchy. You can sing the words of these songs and you had no idea.
So you got to go back to the old school way, like way back when it was just openly creepy men singing about schoolgirls and people like that. You know what I mean?
She's just 16 years old.
How about Good Morning Little Schoolgirl?
Yeah.
And that was sung by like an old blues artist.
Yeah, but again.
But they got away with it.
Ah, well, because nobody was really, and here's the thing, it was kind of more socially acceptable back then, I guess.
Yeah, true.
She's 13, she can make a decision for herself. Third Eye Blind, you remember that band?
Oh, yeah.
Their biggest hit was Semi-Chime Kind of Life. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Very happy, upbeat.
That's about a song about a guy addicted to crystal meth.
Yeah.
Oh.
And how it's ruining his
life. And then when you listen to the lyrics, you're like, oh, yeah, how did I miss that?
Yep. Yeah, in fact, there's a whole part of the song
on
Semi-Chump Kind of Life that they had to cut out of the radio version because it was so explicitly about doing crystal meth and killing yourself.
Damn.
Yes.
It was weird because I remember being a kid and this was parent-friendly music.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a song that came on where you were, like, embarrassed to listen to it in the car with your mom or dad.
100%. But here's the thing. To Tommy's point, this has been around forever.
Yeah.
So, for example, you guys know that I'm a diehard James Taylor fan.
Yeah.
Judge me all you want. I'm going to see him at the end of June. First time I'm going to see him live. Super excited. I told you I was afraid because every time I was supposed to go to these shows,
something happens.
So I'm afraid he's going to die before then. Mm. So if James Taylor's listening, please don't die Yes, June 30th. Thank you. Fire and Rain. I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
What was that about?
That's about his mental health and physical issues when he was battling his addiction to heroin.
Yeah, he was a junkie for a little while.
Yes.
I feel like there's probably a lot of songs about that.
Yeah.
Right? Battling a drug addiction.
But that one kind of makes sense because it sounds like a struggle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have never thought in a million years.
I wouldn't think, heroin.
Is that what you say it like that? heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, he was signed to, I believe he was the first artist ever signed to the Beatles Apple Records label. And he blew it because of his heroin addiction.
Wait, you did too much drugs for the 1970s Beatles?
I don't know if the Beatles did heroin. I've never heard that story.
I thought Lennon went blind on some stuff for a little while.
It wasn't heroin, was
no,
it?
No, but he did something where he whited out his vision for a little bit.
Oh, that's why we got the White Album.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. He thought that there was a gorilla on that album. No, turns out it was a White Album. 252-WCMF. Again, we're talking about James Blunt, the one hit he ever had that everyone could sing the words to if you were alive. You're beautiful. Over the weekend, the 20th anniversary of the song, he reminds everyone that the song was about a high stalker.
Is it him? Is he the guy doing the stalking?
Well, like, he's the only one in the music video, right? Like, I could picture the music video, and I think it's just him in front of, like, a body of water or something. Is he walking on the water? I don't know.
I don't remember the music video.
I thought it was him, like, I think he's on, like, a boardwalk or something. Unless I'm thinking of a different song of his, but I think that's the only one.
Also, this song, not the radio edit, which everyone heard, multiple F-bombs in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, you're effing beautiful?
No, you could see by my face I was effing high.
Oh, all right. Wow.
Does it ruin it for you if you connected to one of these songs in a completely different way and then you find out what it's really about and you're like, oh, I don't feel like that.
Yeah, I think it does. Do you feel that way?
Like, I try to think what tune that would be.
Well, you don't
like
have
if you
a
listen
soul.
To it like after a breakup or if you fell in love with somebody and that song reminds you of that relationship and then you find out it's about something horrible.
Oh, yeah, that might ruin it for you.
You don't have a soul. You don't know what to, like...
Well, I'm just trying to wrap my head around something like I liked a tune and reminded me of a girl I dated or something like that, and then it ruined it for me.
Well, like you don't connect with lyrics; you connect more with sound.
Yeah, so like, I like instrumental jazz.
Like if you found out that trombone was actually playing in a sad way instead of a happy way, like you're the only human being that can't relate to this discussion.
I like music played by guys from the 50s that were junkies.
Every song is about heroin.
Yes. All their wives die way before them, or the wife kills him at the club. True story.
But it's an instrumental.
Yeah.
How do you illustrate that through the...
I don't know. I don't even know why jazz tunes have titles.
Okay.
You could call it the next one.
I mean, like, people are reminding us, the most popular one probably had the misunderstood song has to be The Police, Every Breath You Take.
What was that one?
Every move you make.
So what's that about?
It's about a guy stalking another person.
Oh.
Yeah. A lot of stalker situations here.
Well, a lot of lonely guys out there that driving
got,
around.
That got Richard watchers. Famous.
Yeah.
Well, Kimmy, I guess now it
that
kind
one
of,
seemed obvious.
But it kind of makes more sense, like all of these musicians getting in trouble 30 years later.
Yeah, they all went bad. Hey, it was right there in front of us the whole time.
Or they age poorly.
Yeah.
Look at poor Rod Stewart right now, struggling.
So for those who don't know the story, and I think this needs to be said, Rod Stewart signed a contract in Vegas to do a residency.
Yes.
Right? So everyone can come to him. How old is he now?
Yeah, I think he's 81.
He's 81 years old. I do not believe the residency has started.
Yeah.
Even though it was supposed to start last week because, and I quote the story, he was partying too hard.
He's having too much fun in Vegas, baby.
At 81!
81, the guy could still do it. That's impressive.
How? But
that you could ride that hard for so long, because this means he's been doing it his whole life.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Right? And you're still, that's impressive.
Yeah, but he looks, you can see every drink
Fine.
On his face.
Give me 81 hard drinking. Who cares?
Do we like Rod Stewart? Because I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like Rod Stewart.
No, I'm saying like at men in general, if I were to say I like Rod Stewart, would I be judged for that?
Certain guys, maybe.
Okay.
I always liked Rod Stewart. I mean, he had great hits.
Yeah, but you dress like Rod Stewart.
Well, thank you.
No, that was not a compliment.
I also like to drink till I'm 81 and wear every drink.
You're not wearing make it 81. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Jay before we move on. Hey, Jay, how are you, buddy?
Good, you guys. How about the Gilbert O'Sullivan's Claire from 1974 and the controversy of an uncle and a three-year-old?
Okay, that shouldn't have taken this call. Jay, thank you for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
There's some history I didn't need this morning.
Yep. Thank God only three people listening know who Gilbert O'Sullivan is. But he's alone again.
Wait, are those two dudes or one dude?
Gilbert O'Sullivan's the guy who said...
I thought it was Gilbert and Sullivan.
Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Oh, I would have thought those were two dudes.
Are there a Gilbert and Sullivan that also
That's
wrote
what I thought.
No, Gilbert O'Sullivan wrote that. Oh, okay.
He's Irish?